Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
This morning, and open up our Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We started this message last Sunday, and this will be part 2, and we will finish it today. We're talking about milk. Got milk. And last Sunday we talked quite a bit about how the cows produce the milk. And my research indicated that they do quite well when they have a name. And when they are being milked, that music is being played. And as we were growing up, we always had country music playing in the barn. The cows were being milked, and we had so much milk. We had so much milk, to tell you the truth, that we couldn't drink it all, and we actually had to pour some down the sink. Unbelievable. But milk is very, very important, and Peter talks about milk here in this chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now Peter begins chapter 2, and he's still hung up on chapter 1. He's talking about how we become children of God, being born again, and having received the incorruptible word of God. And we talked a lot about that last Sunday. Direct your attention to the video screen. Babies need milk to survive and to thrive. And newborn babies need and crave it a lot. So too, those who have been spiritually born again need spiritual milk so that they can grow and be mature. As believers grow, they will begin to enjoy more a solid of food. But here, Peter is addressing our appetites, those things we desire and crave. He gives us a three-part instruction that will curb and train our appetites in such a way that maximum growth will be achieved. Talking today about three ways to enhance your spiritual growth. Three ways to enhance your spiritual growth. The first way is to be mindful of what you have tasted. To be mindful of what you have tasted. There is encouragement in the Bible for those who delight in God's word, God's truth. Before we find delight in studying God's word and reading God's word, we first must discipline ourselves and our time to read it. And after we have disciplined ourselves to carve out a certain amount of time to read it, then the desire will come. And we delight in God's word. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in God's word," Psalm chapter 1. Job said his words were more important than necessary food. And God's words brought joy and rejoicing to Jeremiah's heart, the prophet. And you can look in Jeremiah chapter 15. Psalm 119 has 184 references to the scriptures, the word of God, and the testimonies of God. Their statutes, he said, are my delight. The theme of salvation is that we delight in, crave after, and desire the Word of God. The first response to our salvation toward God is that we become holy. Holiness simply means to be set apart. I no longer serve the evil one. I no longer serve self-centered interests, but my body, my mind, and my soul I have given to God, and I am His. And that's our first response Things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. That's contrary to God's word. Places we used to go to, we don't go anymore, according to God's word. D.O. Moody, the evangelist, years ago, got saved because a Sunday school teacher went to see him as he was working as a shoe cook in Chicago. And there in the stock room, that Sunday school teacher, Ed Kimball, showed D.O. Moody how to be saved, and D.O. Moody became a Christian. Ed Kimball said to D.O. Moody, "The world has yet to see what God will do with one man who is fully committed to Him." D.O. Moody, when he heard those words from the lips of Ed Kimball, said, "I will be that man, and the rest is history." D.O. Moody quit his smoking, quit his carousing around, quit his drinking, cleaned up his life, and he had a conversation one time with an unbeliever, and D.O. Moody said, "You know what? Since I've given my life to Christ, I smoke all I want to, I carouse around all I want to, I drink all I want to." Then he said, "Listen carefully. Truth of the matter is, I don't want to do those things any longer since I've given my life to Christ." The second response to salvation is that we love one another. And we talked about that a lot last Sunday. And if your love bucket is empty and you don't have a lot of love for other people, then there's something wrong with your theology. Amen? When we become a believer, God places within our heart the ability to love people. And I've shared with some of you on one-on-one how God has given me a heart of love for one or two people, one in particular that I did not have a lot of love for. In fact, I just didn't want to hang around that person. But now, that person has become very special to me. And I can truthfully say God changed my heart toward that person. And I love that person very, very much. You want to know who that person is? I'll tell you one-on-one, but I won't spread it around the internet, okay? Suffice it to say, love people. "By this, all men know that you are my disciples, if you have" what? "Love for one another." Someone asked D.O. Moody, "Why do you go all the way across town to church, and how many churches do you pass on the way to your church?" He says, "I pass probably a half a dozen or so." "Well, why do you not find a church closer to you?" He says, "The church I go to, I feel loved and accepted there." That's why he bypassed other churches to get to his home church as he was growing in the Lord. The third response to our salvation is that we would begin to have a desire to crave his word, to feed upon his word. And so three ways to enhance our spiritual growth this morning. Here's how we grow spiritually. This is by quick way of review. First of all, we have an appetizer. I took you into a restaurant last Sunday, as you will recall, and we are served, at least at the sunset dinner, we were served an appetizer. Tasted really good. And so when you become a Christian, that's your appetizer. And you look back on your old life and you say to yourself, "You know what, I don't want to go back and revisit that kind of a lifestyle. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus." That's the appetizer. Last Sunday, we had two men in our church who had never been in church. One had never been in church. The other one hadn't been in church for a long, long time. The reason he wasn't in church was because he went to church as a young man, and his buddy wanted to go with him. And so he said, "Sure, come on with me." And so he and his buddy went to church. And the pastor met him at the door, and his buddy was dressed in bib overalls. and the kind that Sarge would wear. And the pastor said, if you're going to come to our church, you have to go back home and change your clothes. Well, those two men walked out, never to return. And to this day, Pops was here last Sunday for the first time since that day many, many years ago. And so Pops and Chiffon's father, Gary, never been in church, came. And he said to me quite some time ago that I need to get my life turned around and get back in church. And he says, well, now you got my attention. But what I'm trying to say is both these men came to New Hope for the first time, and what they saw and what they heard and what they experienced, that was their appetizer. Both of them said they will return. So that's how it starts. And then we learned not to be tempted by the junk food. And we are so easily sidetracked by delving into the junk food that is so readily available. And we need to push that aside, the junk food, and we need to make room for the main course. Talked about that last Sunday. And so the three-point outline in chapter 2 is be mindful, be careful, and be faithful. Here's how we grow spiritually. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, put aside the bad stuff. We don't partake of that anymore. Years ago, when we were pastoring in Reno, Nevada, we had a member of our church, a dear friend at the time, had a friend. Her name was Elisa. And Elisa had a twin daughters, and the friend of mine, his son, was interested in one of her twin daughters. Well, what happened to Elisa was the daughter that was married, her husband shot her, and then he turned the gun on himself and shot himself. And the headlines in the Reno Gazette the next day was murder, suicide in Sparks, Nevada. And Elisa had been married for 35 years, and her husband could not handle the pain, and so he left her, and he divorced her. And so here she was with a broken heart, and Jim, our friend, said, Dale, would you take time to meet up with Elisa? And so I said, sure, be glad to. She was a Latino, beautiful woman. She came in, and she was a Catholic. And I developed the bridge of friendship with her. And then the second visit I said, now, Elisa, I'm going to share something with you, how you can find peace with God. And what I'm about to share with you does not conflict with your Catholic teaching. And so she was eager to see what I had to say. And so I pulled out the four spiritual laws, and she prayed the prayer in the four spiritual laws, and she started coming to our church. And then when we had a baptismal service, Elisa was baptized by me. One of my bright spots of ministry in Reno, Nevada. And when the church emptied out, and the baptismal candidates came out with a change of clothing after the baptism, here in an empty sanctuary, save for Marianne and I and a few others, Elisa came out. I kid you not. She danced. She skipped back and forth across the rear of the sanctuary. She was so happy that she found a way to connect with God. And her past had been forgiven. God began to comfort her heart and steer her in the right direction. She enrolled in a women's Bible study, and she was blooming where God had planted her there, all because she tasted that appetizer, never to return again to the old life. What a wonderful example of someone who had been turned around in their spiritual life because they met Jesus. And so David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you've tasted God's goodness, you're going to want more and more and more. And last Sunday we learned that God tastes better than sin. When we look back on our lives before Christ, we look at the things we did, places we went, things we consumed, and we say, oh my goodness, why in the world was I there? And then since you have found Christ as your Savior, and He's cleansed up your heart, cleaned your heart up, you look back over your life and you say, there's no way I'm going back to that kind of a lifestyle. In fact, 5 years from now, you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I have become a stranger to who I used to be. God tastes better than the life of sin. If you believe that, say amen. And so be careful to avoid junk food. We talked about these last Sunday. We won't dwell on them other than just to mention them, because these will spoil your appetite. They're relational sins as well as the horizontal sins. And food should give you the nourishments that you need in order to grow. That's what God's Word does. And so we talked about malice and how bad malice is, and it'll rob you of your spiritual growth. Deceit is another junk food that we need not to partake of in. Peter said, put aside these junk foods. Hypocrisy is another one. You try to be somebody that you're not. Envy will eat at the core of our heart and take us off the straight and narrow. Speaking evil about someone, gossiping, backbiting, and on and so on. And so when you forget how gracious God has been to you, you start getting ungracious toward others. It's true. Your bitterness will kill your appetite for His sweetness, or His sweetness will kill your bitterness and dispel it. That's the way it works. And now we come down to the third point. That is, be faithful to feed on the truth. Be careful to feed on the truth. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The highest rate of human growth takes place in those first 5 years of a baby and a young child. Have you realized that? They change daily. They change weekly. They change monthly. I look at our grandkids, and my goodness sakes alive, how they have grown over the years. And especially little Reese, that little baby, she is changing drastically every single day. And the reason she's changing is because she likes milk. And she's got plenty of it, and they're growing rapidly. Now, when a baby is hungry and a baby doesn't eat, the baby is very faithful to let you know, hey, I'm hungry here. Where's the milk? When a baby cries, they cry because they're hungry. You look at that little baby and you say, well, I demand the little baby. No, you don't look at that little baby that way. You don't say, well, when's she going to learn manners? You don't look at that little baby that way. Because for a baby, milk is not a fringe benefit. It's absolutely necessary for life. It's a necessity. You can't live without it. In order to grow, you need milk. Now, Peter uses the metaphor like babies desire milk. And he's not writing to his audience saying, hey, you guys are a bunch of crybabies. He's not implying that at all. And he's writing to very mature believers in the Lord. And their intent is that they need to feed upon the sincere Word of God, which is the Bible. The word desire comes from the Greek word, and it simply means to crave. Here's a picture of Mary Ann feeding little Reese. And she, in fact, I have a picture just like that with Reese in Mary Ann's arms in my archives. But here's little Reese being contented now because she has milk. I ran across this story, which I found really humorous. A story about a farmer named Ollie. Ollie was a Lutheran. He lived in a little town back in the Midwest, a farming community, and everyone in that little town was a Catholic except Ollie. He was a Lutheran. Well, that posed a problem on Friday evenings in those days when he would barbecue beef on his backyard porch. And the smell drifted over across that Catholic community. Friday, they ate fish, not meat. So the community got together and said, let's talk to Ollie. And so they went to Ollie and said, now, Ollie, listen up. You're the only Lutheran in this Catholic community, and the nearest church is the next town, and that's too far away to drive to go to church. Why don't you convert and just be one of us and become a Catholic? Be one of us. Join our church. Join our community. He thought about it, all he did, and said, well, that's a good idea. I'll do that. I can do that. So the big day came. They arranged it with the priest. And old Ollie knelt down on his knees, and the priest stood over him and put his hands on Ollie and said something to the effect, Ollie, you were born a Lutheran. You were raised a Lutheran. But now, as he sprinkled the holy water and incense on Ollie, he says, but now, Ollie, you're a Catholic. That was it. Ollie got up, gave the priest a big hug, hugged all of his newfound Catholic friends, and he became part of the church. Everything went well until the next Friday evening, and once again, all of Ollie's neighbors could smell beef being barbecued over at Ollie's house. So they go, well, we got to go talk to Ollie. Something's wrong here. He's changed now. He can't do that. So they went over, and just as they were entering the yard, they appeared over the fence, and there was Ollie standing over his barbecued beef, talking to his beef. And this is what he said to his beef. You were born a beef. You were raised a beef. And then he sprinkled some salt and seasoning spices on the beef. And then he said, but now you're a fish. And the neighbors were fit to be tied. But he craved beef so much. And so he thought, if that worked for me, well, this will work also for the beef. So Ollie craved beef. And so the question is, what do you really crave? You get down to the punchline. What is it that you really crave? On a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself of your own spiritual hunger. Are you a 10? Are you a 5? Are you a 2? Where is it? Only you can answer that. One being mildly interested, 10 being an intense craving. What's it like? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. He said nothing about casually snacking after righteousness. There's people that go for weeks on end without even cracking the Bible or reading from God's Word. And they feel okay about that. It's no big deal to them. They just pull out the Bible, put on their mask, come to church, pretend, and then they go home, put the Bible back on the shelf, change the clothes, and it's just into another week of whatever, a void of God's presence. So what is your craving like? The real thrust of this passage, just like a baby has to have milk, and the baby lets everyone know, when it wants milk, we need to crave spiritual food. Can you think back and can you remember how you devoured the Word of God when you first became a believer? And, you know, for years I listened to a lot of sermons. I still do. But in those days, I really subscribed to a lot of sermons and Bible studies on cassette tapes. Do you remember what those were? They have become obsolete, like 8-tracks, you know. Even CDs now are becoming obsolete. But in those days, and I still have boxes and boxes of these tapes stored. And I used to listen to them way into the night from different Bible scholars because I had a hunger to know God's Word and listen to it. But I'm afraid that for some of us, we have kind of put the Bible on the shelf, and the only time we open it is when we come to church. That ought not to be. We have to have that newborn passion that we once had, a kind of craving. What makes one student in school better than the average student? It's passion. What makes one athlete excel and get the gold more than the rest of the athletes? What makes one worker at a job stand out to the boss more than others. It's passion. Now, at the beginning of the sixth grade, Abigail signed up for band, and she chose to play clarinet. And a few days passed, school was well underway, and I noticed that Abigail was coming home from school without her clarinet. I watched the other students walk out of school at the end of the day. They had their band instruments in hand. And so I said, Abigail, if you are going to play that clarinet, you're not going to learn to play it by leaving it in a box, store it in the music room at school. You've got to bring that clarinet home. Practice. 30 minutes every day. Oh, Grandpa. I said, I want to hear clarinet music. And I remember the first time she tried to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Man, she just could not get that down. In fact, I put it on a video and put it on Facebook. I thought you might be interested in that. Anyway, I was. And when she finally mastered it, she says, I've got it. She was so thrilled. Well, what happened? Her attitude changed, and she was getting D's in band. No excuse for that. And so the band teacher noticed an improvement in Abigail's attitude, and he asked her, what brought about the change? Abigail said, my grandpa told me that if I was going to learn to play the clarinet, I had to bring it home with me and practice 30 minutes every day. You know what the band teacher said? Abigail, you've got a wise grandpa. She moved from the back row into the second chair, and now she is having her eyes set on become part of the symphony. So school starts. Abigail, I need to hear clarinet music 30 minutes every day. Now, same thing with Faith, taking guitar lessons. And she is not going to learn to play the guitar without practicing taking lessons. So, passion, that's what makes the difference from people who succeed and people who are mediocre in their lives. Here's the bottom line. J.C. Penney said these words, you show me a stock clerk with a goal, and I'll show you a man who will make history. But show me a man without a goal, and I'll show you a stock clerk. Amen? Here's the bottom line. It's passion. You got to crave. Crave the Word of God. Desire the Word of God. Listen to it being preached. Listen to it being taught. We all have our favorite television evangelists and pastors that we listen to. It takes all different kinds of teachers to reach all different kinds of preachers, students, people. And we all have our favorite ones. All of them are very, very good. But think about it. This is pure, unadulterated milk that Peter's talking about. Now, does a baby want skim milk? Does a baby want 2% milk? Are you kidding me? That milk is for us adults. They want the full meal deal, whole milk, the real stuff. You know why they want that real milk? Because they're putting on weight, trying to grow, add substance to their physique. And so if you mix it up and contaminate it with other things or water it down, the child will not have a healthy upbringing. Which leads me to say, if we want to grow in our spiritual life, don't mix God's truth with anything else. We take the pure truth, the Word of God, not the Bible plus philosophy, not the Bible plus psychology, not the Bible plus someone else's bent on their theological persuasion, but the pure milk of the Word. And that's very, very important because we grow that way. And you cannot grow spiritually without a steady diet of God's Word. That's why on a Wednesday Bible studies, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter in our Bible studies. So ask yourself a question. Am I in the same place spiritually that I was in, say, 5 years ago, 2 years ago? And if I am, then ask yourself, why is that so? The Bible says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Scripture is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Some final thoughts. You were given the appetizer when you were first saved, and it tastes so good. Think back to the day when you turned your life over to Jesus. Remember the circumstances involved therein. That was the appetizer. Some of you are growing very, very fast. And we have learned not to feed on the junk food, because that will take away our spiritual appetite. And then we clean our plate so that we can have the real meal deal, the vertical spiritual stuff of the Word of God. Now, here's some common philosophies Christians have in regards to church, Christianity. There's a lot of people out there that they say they are Christians, but they don't have anything to do with the church because of some bad experiences, I guess. But anyway, here's some common philosophies. Some say, well, I'll show up and I'll occupy a chair and I can say, well, I went to church Sunday. That's good. Others say, well, I'll do better than that. I'll even dress up. I will show up and I will even listen to the sermon. Now, you don't have to dress up to come to New Hope. Come as you are. And you've known me now for a while. I can't remember the last time I wore a tie. I left it over on Lily Road, tell you the truth, and my sport coat. It's packed. And for you folks, when you have a memorial service, like the last one we had was Marilyn Morris. And before she passed away, I said, now, Marilyn, I don't think you've ever seen me in a suit. It'd be out of character for me to wear a suit and a tie at a memorial service. So that's just who I am. Now, when daylight saving time kicks in and ends, you'll see me wearing a white shirt over underneath a sweater. I parked my Hawaiian shirts until daylight saving time kicks back in. This time, when I go to Hawaii, instead of looking for Hawaiian shirts, I'm going to start looking for some sweatshirts so I can wear sweatshirts in the wintertime. But you don't have to dress up. Just show up. And some say, yeah, I'll even listen to the church. You know what? A preacher has a pretty good idea most of the time who's listening and who isn't listening. We preachers can tell when your antenna is up or when it's down and you're off in la-la land someplace. So some say, well, I'm going to listen to the sermon. I'll even tell you what he preached about. That's good. But the best is take it another step. Grow up. Take notes. Pay attention. Become a spiritual giant. Don't content yourself with being a spiritual midget. Learn to grow, mature in your walk with the Lord. The church is not something you go to.